"And they spit lead balls at people, do they?" said Ridcully.
"No, master. He just used it to put the machinery in, whatever it is, whatever it's doing."
Whum, whum.
"Hold on, it wobbled," said the Dean. "Whum, whum, whum."
The wizards stared at one another in sudden panic.
What's happening? What's happening?" said Windlepoons. "Why won't anyone tell me what's happening?"
"Whum, whum, whum."
"Run," suggested the Dean.
"Which way?" quavered the bursar.
"Whum, whum."
"I'm an old man and I demand someone tell me what's happening."
Silence. "Duck!" shouted the Arch-Chancellor. Plup! A splinter of stone was knocked off the pillar behind him. He raised his head.
"Be gods, that was a damn lucky escape." Plip!
The second pellet knocked the tip off his hat. The wizards lay trembling on the flagstones for several minutes. After a while, the Dean's muffled voice.
"Was that all, do you think?"
The Arch-Chancellor raised his head. His face, always red, was now incandescent.
"Bertha!"
"Master,
that's what I call shooting."
Victor turned over. He said.
"It's 6 a.m. Rise and shine, Mr. Dibbler says," said Detritus, grasping the bedclothes in one hand and dragging them onto the floor.
6 o'clock? That's night time," groaned Victor.
"It's going to be a long day, Mr. Dibbler says," said the troll. "Mr. Dibbler says you got to be on set by 6:30. This is going to happen."
Victor pulled on his trousers. "I suppose I get to eat breakfast," he said sarcastically.
"Mr. Dibbler is having food laid on, Mr. Dibbler says," said Detritus.
There was a wheezing noise from under the bed. Gaspode emerged in a cloud of old rugness and had an early morning scratch.
"What they," he began, and then saw the troll.
"Bark, bark," he corrected himself.
"Oh, a little dog." "I like little dogs," said Detritus.
"Woof."
"Roar,"
the troll added, but he couldn't get the right amount of statutory nastiness into his voice. Visions of Ruby in her feather boa and 3 acres of red velvet kept undulating across his mind. Gaspode scratched his ear vigorously.
"Woof," he said quietly. "In tones of low menace," he added, after Detritus had gone.
The slope of the hill was already alive with people when Victor arrived. A couple of tents had been erected. Someone was holding a camel. Several cages of demons gibbered in the shade of a thorn tree. In the middle of all this were Dibbler and Silverfish arguing. Dibbler had his arm around Silverfish's shoulder.
"A dead giveaway is that," said a voice from the level of Victor's knees. "It means some poor bugger is about to be taken to the cleaners." "It'll be a step up for you, Tom," Dibbler was saying. "I mean, how many people in Holy Wood can call themselves Vice President in charge of executive affairs?"
"Yes, but it's my company," Silverfish wailed.
"Right, right," said Dibbler. "That's what a name like Vice President of Executive Affairs means."
"It does?
Have I ever lied to you?"
Silverfish's brow furrowed.
"Well," he said, "yesterday you said..."
"I mean metaphorically," said Dibbler quickly.
"Oh, well, metaphorically I suppose not."
"There you are then. Now, where's that artist?"
Dibbler spun around, giving the impression that Silverfish had just been switched off. A man scurried up with a folder under his arms.
"Yes, sir, Mr. Dibbler?"
Throat pulled a scrap of paper out of his pocket.
"I want the posters ready by tonight. Understand?" he warned. "Here, this is the name of the clique."
"Shadowy of the Desert," the artist read. His brow furrowed. He had been educated beyond the needs of Holywood.
"It's about food," he said.
But Dibbler wasn't listening.